this beautiful promise that the Lord gives us in the prophecy of Isaiah. This is part of what our Lord alludes to when John the Baptist sends his disciples and says, are you the one to come, or are we waiting for another one? He says, go tell John what you see. Yeah? The eyes of the blind are open, the ears of the deaf are cleared, the lame leap like a stag, and the tongue of the mute will sing. Now, I'm quoting from Isaiah, but our Lord said words like that so that anybody could see that the promise of God was being fulfilled. And the promise is salvation, of which healing is anticipation, a symbol, a foretaste. Then, in the gospel, we have an illustration of this. The interesting thing in the gospel, and I think the reason why the church puts it there, is the connection between sin and health. Now, he never says, and the church has never said, that because I'm sick, I've sinned. It's the whole atmosphere of sin. Now, this man did sin. And as a matter of fact, because the Lord forgives him his sins, in the New Testament, there's most, very often, when there's a paralyzed man, this question of sin. But it's, what are we longing for? We're longing for the full presence of the kingdom of God. We're longing for heaven, when our whole being will be transformed. Remember, that's what God has in store for us, for eternity. That's his plan, that we be filled with unbelievable joy and delighting in all creation forever. That we see God, we be with God, we have an intimacy with God. We're ravished by love for God. We're delighted to be with one another. And even this material universe, which has been promised a transformation also, will be our delight. What we have in the psalm is the second part of a very beautiful psalm, which is a prayer for restoration. The key word in the psalm is the word shuv, which means return. But it also means do again, but it also means repent. To this day, the Hebrew word for repentance is tshuva. Jeremiah has this famous line, make us return, O Lord, and then we will return. In the New Testament, we have this word, as you all know, metanoia, to change your mind, which is looking at it from the interior decision, and a new vision. The Hebrew is more like, come back to God. So the whole first part of the psalm, which we don't have, we only have the second part, beginning with verse 8 or 9. This is a psalm not attributed to David, but one of the psalms attributed to the sons of Korah. Lord, you had mercy on your land. You returned the returning of Jacob. You lifted the sins off your people. You covered all their sins. You withdrew your burning anger. You made come back to you. You made return from anger your wrath. Make us return, O God, our Savior, and have mercy on us. Withdraw your wrath from us. See, it's a penitential psalm. And then, will your anger be forever? Will it be stretched out from generation to generation? You see. Will you not return? Now here's God. He's not repenting, but he's returning to have mercy on us. And your people will rejoice in you. That's the part we don't have. And then it starts. I will hear what the Lord Adonai speaks. That's where our psalm begins. Huh? This is a promise now, a restoration. Why do we have it now? Because you see, it repeats this prophecy of Isaiah and shows us then in the gospel that it's for real. Jesus did these things and does these things. He heals us. He forgives our sins. And this Advent is a time of having deeper return to God. And so, he speaks of peace to his people. Shalom. Shalom, as you know, means the presence in a relationship of everything that should be there. Shalom. He creates the shalom. In fact, he does more, as you'll see. You speak it for to your people and to your devoted ones. Remember, I've talked a lot about this word hesed, huh? Which means enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant. And those who do that are called hasidim. They are the hesed people. And so he says now to your hesed people, you will speak. And salvation will draw near to you, to us, to your people, those who fear you. And then it says, so that the kavod can dwell in our land. The kavod means the glory of God. The glory of God is his perceptible saving presence. So filled with awe. It's the kavod that fills the temple. It's the kavod that's seen at Exodus. It's the kavod that gets them through the sea. This is a word we see all over the place. And now he says, the kavod dwells in the land. That's Jesus. Is he not the perceptible saving presence of God? The kavod dwells in our land. And then he starts. Hesed and emet. Hesed and fidelity, truth, stability. You see? Are for they have come together. Tzedek, righteousness, justice, and shalom have kissed. And then emet, this fidelity, this truth, springs up from the land. And tzedek, justice, looks down from heaven. St. Augustine sees there, I think rightly, see the prophecy. Truth comes out of the earth, out of the womb of Mary. Our earth comes emet, truth, fidelity, Jesus. And tzedek looks down from heaven. That's the Father. And then, tzedek and shalom, righteousness and peace, finally kiss. You see, our earth has produced its fruit. The very Son of God, incarnate among us. And the earth is our Mary. And from that earth, from that body, comes salvation. comes this emet. That's why it's called an Easter, a Christmas psalm. And it, I don't know where, probably somewhere, but I know now, yes, you can get those translations in of Augustine if you want them. They're in the from the New City Press, the Focolare people. But you see, what a promise. God himself makes the righteousness come up and save us.